As we reached the next village, yells of triumph from all the villagers deafened us as they almost caught the donkey. But suddenly he broke free, wheeled around, and cantered back to our village. When we returned, he was happily munching hay in his paddock with a sly look in his eye. Apparently, chasing the donkey to Dickleborough was a regular cathartic ritual that all the villagers thoroughly enjoyed. Nothing like this happened in the suburbs. I was hooked. The next opportunity we had to get to the country was when I was in college and my mother invited me to join her for a holiday. A few days in a bed and breakfast on a working farm near Shilton in the Cotswolds. As we drove to our destination, I became enchanted by this region. I couldn't believe how lovely it was. The quiet country lanes would lead out to spectacular views of gently rolling hills covered in a patchwork of fields. Unspoilt countryside stretched as far as the eye could see, with an occasional church spire to guide the way to yet another ancient village. The Cotswolds are located just east and a little bit south of Wales and north of the city of Bath. For several centuries, its inhabitants made oodles of money from wool manufacture. When this trade failed, the poverty it created prevented the rapid growth and building boom that made other parts of Great Britain look like winners in the ugliest new building in the world contest. Visitors to the Cotswolds are usually directed to the chocolate box, picture-perfect villages. I was thankful that our route took us along narrow lanes far away from these areas and showed a wilder, more interesting Cotswolds. I had a feeling of stepping back in time as I passed through these small hamlets in their lush green settings. The local Cotswold stone is a honey colour that causes buildings to glow in the sunset. This, together with the dry stone walls and the ancient hedgerows, create a beautiful landscape that is largely unchanged since the 16th century. Shilton is cosily tucked away in the Shilbrook Valley and is close to Burford. At its centre is a forded road leading to a farm with a dovecote. Cars crossing the ford must travel slowly to avoid the ducks swimming by. A stream runs through Shilton's rose-bedecked gardens. The village pond is lined with chestnut trees, and the Norman church to the south of the village features 14th century carvings showing scenes from the Passion. We found our digs, were greeted by the farmer's wife, and shown to our room overlooking the cowshed. After settling in, we ordered a taxi to take us to dinner in a nearby village that evening in order to meet some friends. We promised ourselves, however, that we would visit Shilton's pub, the Rose and Crown, with its reputation for excellent food and charming terraced garden, as soon as we could.
"I can take you at 8 o'clock, but no sooner, 'cause I got to milk the cows first."
We were amused to find that our taxi driver was also a cowman on the farm where we were staying. Fortunately, he managed to change out of his muddy Wellington boots before picking us up. Safely delivered to the bar of the pub in the next village, we were enjoying our pre-dinner sherry when our ears were assaulted by a piano player, loudly murdering show tunes in the dining area nearby. Dressed in a fancy smoking jacket with a candelabra perched on top of a piano strewn with sheet music, he must have thought he was Liberace as he thumped away using extravagant hand gestures. He was so intent on charming his audience that he failed to notice that the vibrations from his vigorous playing had caused a lighted candle to fall on his music. Interpreting warning cries from the diners as shouts of approval for his playing, he showed off with a few more rippling glissandos as the sheet music on top of his piano burst into flames. Screaming waitresses doused the fire with jugs of water, while Liberace flapped his arms in hysteria and ran round in circles. It was great cabaret. The timeless beauty of the area and the unself-conscious dottiness of some of its inhabitants put a spell on me, and I formed the ambition, there and then, that I would one day live in one of these villages and buy my own Cotswold cottage. Although I had planned to accompany my mother on more trips like this, a career in theatre and the movies whirled me away to distant parts, but I never forgot my visit to this lovely place. Some years later, I was finally in a position to try and make my dream come true. I was now living in California with my American husband, Randall. Known as Randy,